U.S. Senator Mike Rounds has announced his bid for re-election. What's his vision for South Dakota? You're listening to In the Moment from SDPB. Here's a little bit from Senator Rounds' new campaign video.
When I first asked for the opportunity to work in the United States Senate, I said Washington needed more South Dakota in it. That's been my focus every day since. By working with President Trump and Leader John Thune, and by staying focused on South Dakota priorities, we're delivering real results. Tax cuts that put more money back in your pocket, stronger border security, protecting the sanctity of human life, standing up for South Dakota farmers and ranchers, and keeping America strong by following President Reagan's principle of peace through strength.
Mike Rounds was sworn into the U.S. Senate in 2015. He previously served as the 31st governor of the state from 2003 to 2011. He was elected five times before that to the South Dakota State Senate. He currently serves on the following committees: Senate Appropriations, Armed Services, Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs, Indian Affairs, and the Select Committee on Intelligence. I spoke with him on the phone. You were talking in your campaign material for re-election about many of the ways that your public service has made South Dakota better: Ellsworth Air Force Base, the cybersecurity program at Dakota State University, saving the VA hospital in Hot Springs, for example. Give us an idea of what's next. What's your vision for South Dakota and America's future?
I think the biggest challenge we've always had in South Dakota is keeping our kids here. And that means we've got to be doing things to grow the economy here within the state, provide that good educational opportunity, which means the institutions have got to be strong. And at the same time, you know, we've got opportunities for South Dakota to grow and prosper with regards to energy, with regards to artificial intelligence. Our ag sector has real opportunities if we can stay strong. The livestock industry is one that, as long as we can keep cattle coming in with the consumer knowing the difference between our livestock and livestock from out of the country, those are things that suggest that we've got some real opportunities in the future to grow our economy, which means more jobs and chances to keep the young people here in the state. My fear is that they will look elsewhere outside of our state. And in doing so, it's really tough to get them back into the state. So, number one, I want to get results back here in South Dakota. And I think part of that also is recognizing that not only have we had some of the best reductions in taxes for people in the last year that we worked with President Trump and with Leader John Thune on, but there's more opportunities in the future to grow the entire economy across the entire country. South Dakota will benefit from that.
There has been some discussion this week about President Trump's proposal for credit card interest rates to be capped at 10%, the banking industry, which is also significant in South Dakota, on par with agriculture, really, has some things to say. Now, we know this president likes to kind of come out of the gate with big rhetoric, but we also know he likes to take sweeping action and not always with congressional approval. What are your concerns about his proposal to cap credit card interest rates at 10%?
Well, you know, I think you can't look at it as just saying credit card rates being capped. I think you also have to look at what the impact is on the availability of credit. One of the reasons why South Dakota eliminated the cap on interest rates way back in the 1980s was because our farmers couldn't get loans at the local bank because the interest rates elsewhere were too high, and we had a limit on what they could actually have for an interest rate. So back when Bill Janklow was governor, he increased, or he took the lid off interest rates so that livestock guys and farmers could actually get loans to put the crops in the ground. And what that told us was if interest rates have to be high, at least you can get the credit. So my question is, if you could survive as a credit card at 10%, why aren't some really profitable businesses out there doing that today? And then second of all, you know, I mean, there are areas where I've disagreed with the president in the past, but I don't necessarily go out and do headlines on it and try to burn things up. What I try to do is to work behind the scenes to make sure that they get all the facts and what the real impact would be. And I think this is one of those cases where once people start to look at what happens if you limit artificially the interest rates that credit cards could be, you really have to ask yourself, now, who is it that wouldn't be able to get a credit card? And in some cases, those are the folks that probably need the credit the most in really hard times. And second of all, what happens then when the loan sharks start showing up that aren't going to follow the law? So for me, I don't think you can look at it in a vacuum. You've got to look at the big picture and what the impact would be.
So speaking of that, in 2022, President Trump said he would never support you again. He called you a jerk. And then in 2025, you backed his efforts to defund the corporation from public broadcasting. And then he gave you a ringing endorsement. So you are endorsed by President Trump at this point. Can you give us an update on that commitment that you got from the federal government at the time for $9.4 million to go to tribal stations?
Well, I think what the president said, and I think, you know, I've received his endorsement and I've received Senator Thune's endorsement. I think what the president said was that I would never let South Dakotans down. And part of what I tried to do in working with the president's team when it came to public radio was to make sure that they understood all the facts and who was really getting hurt if they were to defund, like, all of public radio. And I don't think they realized at the time that there are Native American radio stations out there that literally would shut down, that they really do provide a huge public service in some really rural areas. And, you know, these are folks that really need that type of a public radio availability. And so when I brought it up to them and shared it with them, didn't try to embarrass them, but just simply said, look, some of these things are areas that I think we need to work on. They agreed. And so I got results, but the way that I got results was not by fighting with them, but by working through and finding a process that would work for them. Now, would I have liked to probably have had some additional funds in there for public radio and so forth? Yes, but I also knew that I had to work with them to get the most needed areas, you know, assistance so that they would continue on. And it just happens to be that, you know, in those areas that are the most rural, they really don't have the resources there to go to replace the dollars that we would have lost. So that's the area that I tried to focus on, were the areas that would get hurt the most.
What is the status of that funding? Has that come through, and where did the money come from?
Yeah, to the best of my knowledge, all of the funding that we agreed to has been provided. But once again, like any appropriations, you now have to go back and you work on it each year. That's part of some of the things that we'll have to do in the years to come as well, is to go back in and justify why we want taxpayer money being put into these programs. And you know what? That's not such a terrible thing to have to justify putting the funds into certain programs. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So do you think you left public broadcasting in South Dakota better? Like, you are arguing you've left other South Dakota institutions better in South Dakota, not nationwide.
You know,
I think public
radio and public TV are going to be better. Because the one thing we also noticed was there was huge public support in terms of general acceptance and donations and public support for those systems, not just through tax dollars coming through, but through general public support. And when you look at the fundraising and the really good things that South Dakota Public TV and public radio have done, the vast majority of it has been because they have appealed to the public and the public has responded. And I think you guys do a really good job in that regard.
You have said that you don't see military action in Greenland as part of effective U.S. policy to maintain our security in that region. If the president decides to take Greenland by force, is that a red line for you?
Well, I think the president has now made it very clear after his meeting in Davos that he has no intentions of using military force. I think he made that very clear. And I think part of the reason why it was even an item for discussion was that people were saying, will you rule it out earlier? And I think the president, as he was trying to figure out the appropriate way to negotiate, he was simply saying, I'm not taking away any of my options, but I don't believe that he ever said publicly that he was going to use it. He just simply refused to rule it out. And now, after his public statements in Davos, he made it very clear that a military movement was not on the table.
You think he walked that back in Davos?
I think he just made clear what his position was.
Okay.
And I think, you know, people continued to ask him on it, and I think it got to the point where he wanted to let them know that he has a real interest in it, because for national security purposes, Greenland is pretty unique, and just the way that it sets the geography on it is pretty important to our country. We do have access to it right now. And, you know, I think he was trying to put himself into a position, the best position he could, to negotiate a good deal to perhaps purchase it. I still think he wants to purchase it, and I think what he's agreed to do, as a matter of fact, I see he's also agreed not to put any tariffs on any of our NATO allies because of their disagreement with him on it, because I think he sees a path forward in which he's going to be given the opportunity to at least try and negotiate a financial settlement to obtain Greenland. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but most certainly he's working it very hard because he understands for national security purposes, long term, Greenland is the place that, as we continue to have, you know, climate change, Greenland is going to be right in the middle of open waters in the future.
Because of your role on the Armed Services Committee, you and I have talked extensively about Venezuela. The last time that we spoke, since the last time we spoke, Pete Hegseth's War Department has been accused of further war crimes for allegedly attacking a boat with aircraft disguised as a civilian plane. There's things you can't tell us. I acknowledge that. When you see that reporting, help us understand your oversight role and if you have concerns about how operations are being carried out in Venezuela.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate the way that you phrased that, because there are some things that I can't talk about. But what I can tell you is that if we could share what we see behind closed doors, I think the American people would have a greater degree of comfort with the avenue that the administration has taken with regard to the military actions to support the law enforcement actions in the area. And I can tell you that they have gone through great lengths. They have gone to great lengths to make sure that they are following the law in how they are responding to these drug running boats. And, you know, I wish we could share, but we can't, how much information we actually have about each one of those boats before they are engaged in the first place, and what the logic is on each boat that they go through before they actually order the attack. And so you are correct in that there is a logic to it. I wish we could talk about it. Perhaps someday we can, but at this point, we're not able to discuss publicly what that legal reasoning is.
Do we have authorization to use cybersecurity assets in Southern Command?
Yes, and in fact, under the NDAA, we actually specifically put it in and directed it in Mexico. Back in, I believe, 2023, under the NDAA. In fact, it was some of my legislation, so that we can find out with regard to the cartels, specifically who they are, where they are, where they bank, who they communicate with, what their supply chains look like, and so forth. And I don't believe that there is any limitation on the use of cyber for detection, or for that matter, the ability to implicate in international waters, individuals that are being identified as being involved in criminal activity.
I want to turn back toward closer to home in the city of Pierre, because lawmakers are debating this week about the $500 million in federal money authorized for the rural health transformation project. Some frustration coming up with the speed with which legislators are having to make decisions, some concerns about it being one-time money versus ongoing funds. What's your message to state legislators about that program and how they should be approaching it, especially in light of your former role as our state's governor?
Well, I think it's about $190-some million, which is a really good award based upon the proposal that was laid out. Number one, I would say execute based on the way that you propose the dollars to do and get on it as quickly as you can. But make sure when you do it that you know who you're doing business with, and follow through. Make sure that you don't skimp on the the due diligence to where the money is used just as you're directing it to be used. That's really important. The second part is that in the future, should there be additional dollars, this is the focus of the transition. It's like a bridge. The point being, as rural hospitals have struggled, this is a way to move in using new technologies. The best example I can give you is that our institutions here in South Dakota have been successful in integrating the use of technology, remote technology, to be able to have an individual in a local clinic or in a hospital be looked at and have a diagnosis laid out with somebody who might be in a bigger place like Great or like Rapid City or Sioux Falls over an internet connection, a telephone connection or a video connection. Those are the types of things, particularly now with artificial intelligence stepping into it, to where we're going to be doing more and more of that on a remote basis because we can do it more quickly. And the more of that you can do in that golden hour when somebody gets hurt, the more opportunities you've got for real success. And that's part of what this is all about. And it's a lot of it has to do with the way that they've laid out their proposal. You know, distance here, geography here is so unique compared to other parts of the country. And so healthcare is going to be delivered differently than what it would be in like a smaller state where you're closer to hospitals. Those are the types of things that we have to be able to address that other states might not have to. That's the reason for that funding in the first place. And then also the fact that if you're in smaller areas, smaller communities and so forth, you still want to be able to have grandmas and grandpas close to where their community is at rather than having to leave and go to a bigger town to get the services that they want. How do you integrate care for individuals that are retired or living in a nursing home or need nursing home assistance? How do you integrate that to get the best possible care for them and not make them leave their local community? Those are the types of things that were integrated into their proposal, and it is very rural in nature. So, first things first, but I think you use this money and you use it as one-time money. And then when you come back in and if you can get additional dollars, put together your plan and see how you qualify based on what additional needs you might see in the future.
As we wrap up here, Senator Rounds, I know you say in your campaign ad that you think about your wife who passed away in 2021 every day. You say that she would always say, when you have faith, you have hope. Leave us with what that means to you today.
I think during that time period in which she was struggling, we had always hoped that we'd have more time together. But as long as you have faith, you also understand that there is more to it than just the life that we live today. And faith with it comes with the understanding that our time on earth is short, and that as long as you recognize that there's more to come in the future, even regardless of if you lose a loved one, you know that at some point you'll be reunited with them again in the future, and you'll be doing it with your Savior, with Jesus. And I think that's so important here in South Dakota that we just, sometimes we simply take it for granted and we don't say it enough, that we all understand that this life is short and you want to live it to its fullest, but you also want to leave this earth different than you found it. You want to make things better for the next generation. I think that's a lot of what it's all about, is that faith in the next generation, a hope that what you do here actually makes a difference for the next generation. Like my dad used to say, you leave things better than the way that you found it. And I think that's really important. And I think that's the way most people in South Dakota live. I tell people, I work in Washington, D.C. because that's where the job is at. But I'm a South Dakotan. This is my home. And when I'm done working in Washington, D.C., this is where I'm coming to. I come home every weekend. This is my home. I'm a South Dakotan. And this is where I want to be. But right now, my work is in Washington.
Senator Mike Rounds, announcing for re-election campaign. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's U.S. Senator Mike Rounds, and that's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.